vibe. She want a vibe. That's a vibe. Yeah, that's a vibe. It's a vibe. That's a vibe.
What up, fellas?
Welcome to the unnamed podcast.
So we're going to be talking about the All-Star game today and the Home Run Derby, as well as some questionable stuff going on with the baseballs. After that, we're going to move on to Colin Kaepernick and the MLB trade deadline. So let's kick it off with the All-Star game. Did you guys watch it? What'd you think?
Yeah, I watched it. It was really good. I was at work, you know, chilling. I was watching the game, and I actually felt like really energized to watch. I wasn't really excited about last year's All-Star game, but this year I was. You know why? Aaron Judge.
Was
really, really fun to see him play in the game, and obviously the All-Star, the Home Run Derby. So, yeah, what do you think, Jesse?
I enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was good. I mean, I didn't catch the whole game, but I saw a good amount of it. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, man, Jonathan Scope, he had two hits.
Yeah.
And he scored one run.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did not watch the All-Star game at all, which is, I'm a terrible baseball fan. But it ended up being a 2-1, a 10-inning game, right?
Pitching was amazing.
All pitching, like no hitting. I tuned it in because I thought Jonathan Scope was coming up, and then Robinson Cano was up. And I was like, all right, I'm going to turn it off again. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's just kind of – the pitching's too good almost. And it's not that I don't want to see good pitching, but when they're not hitting the ball, they're not putting that – I think the NL struck out 14 times or something like that.
And they're the best of the best, too.
Exactly.
Still striking out.
Right. But, I mean, like you said, it was exciting because of Aaron Judge, because he had the Home Run Derby the day before where it was incredible. I mean – I think Justin Bour for the Marlins faced off against him in the first round.
Yeah. I loved the way he competed, though. He knew he was going to lose, but he said, no, I'm going to have fun. You know, I'm just going to, you know, show off and hit some home runs. He was, like, really into it. And then Aaron Judge came in, you know, said, you know what, this is mine. It's my trophy.
Right. Yeah, Judge was going to go out in the first round.
Yeah, I was getting scared.
Bour was smacking the balls, like, oh, man, he's out of this. But he came right back.
Bour hit some monster home runs.
Yeah.
He did. Which was kind of sad to see him go out, because he was like the hometown guy. Well, because the Marlins are there, and he didn't make the All-Star game, right? Mm-hmm. He was in that final vote thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would have been cool, but it just didn't happen. Judge was just too much for him.
Judgment Day.
Exactly. But all the home runs. I mean, do you guys have anything else to say about the Home Run Derby? Anybody else stand out? I know you like Miguel Sano, Jesse.
I did like Miguel Sano. I mean, he had a weaker first round. But then he almost lost, or he almost got knocked out in the first round. But he came through later and made it, you know, did what he had to do to advance to the final round against Aaron Judge. But then obviously he just didn't have enough.
So. Yeah. I want to talk about, Aaron Judge had a 513 feet home run, like 500 feet.
Wow. That is incredible. Jesse is having some trouble over here.
Yeah.
Is that any better? No? Can you not hear?
I can't hear.
Testing.
That did kind of sound better when I unplugged that. Jesse, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
You can?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
No. Okay. Something was going on where you didn't plug yours in like hard enough or something.
Technical difficulties.
We can kind of keep... I can always edit stuff.
Yeah, man.
It's not a big deal.
Okay, all right.
I mean... Sweat it. It's relaxed, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, is this all good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be formal.
Sounds better.
You get very formal. You can relax.
Okay.
You can cuss if you want to.
I
just took the mic off the stand.
Yeah.
Now I really feel good.
This is much better. They're way too low like this.
Yeah.
All right. So is that okay? Mm-hmm. Are you happy with that? All right. So Miguel Sano, do you want to continue on your man crush of Miguel Sano?
Well, I just think he's a great player. Yeah. I mean, you know,
he destroyed the O's.
Yeah, he does. And he was signed at 16, you know, wow. The Twins signed him at 16, found him. And I mean, he is living up to the hype. I think he's going to be, I think he has a chance to be a, you know, borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean,
I don't know about that.
Oh, you think that's
he's just kind of starting his
career.
How
old is he?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
No, yeah, but he's like 23.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he could be, but it's a little early.
It's a long way away, yeah.
I'm trying to look up the MLB All-Star
game.
That's
his ceiling, I guess that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. So. But isn't that anybody's ceiling? Nobody's going to be better than a Hall of Famer.
Well, what I'm saying is not everybody can reach the Hall of Fame.
Let's see. That's true.
Not everyone has a chance to go to the Hall.
That's true.
So he has a high ceiling, high potential.
Yeah. Not everybody can be Ryan Flaherty.
Right.
So yeah, I'm just kind of looking at the box score. Let's see who Mike. This is from last year. I'm terrible at looking up things. But yeah, the home run derby was probably the most fun home run derby in a couple of years. Yeah,
it has been. The All-Star game has always intrigued me much more than the home run derby. But
really?
Yes, most definitely. You know, watching guys take batting practice, you know, it's like they hit these monster home runs, which are huge and which are interesting on one level. But on another level, it's just they're hitting batting practice. And
yeah,
I'm much more intrigued by the actual All-Star game rather than just watching these monster home runs. So
I like home runs.
Yeah.
Well, and I like the way they do it now with the time limit instead of the 10 outs.
That would be perfect.
Way better.
I don't know.
It took so long before when they did the 10 outs.
Maybe I'm still adjusting. It did take a lot longer, but it just felt like a fairer system to me, too.
I guess so.
But maybe not. Maybe not.
I mean,
they give them time out. You know, they get two time out. They take breaks, you know. So
they get one in the first few rounds and then two in the final round.
Right.
But
I do think it's dumb that they have to wait until the ball hits the ground before they can pitch the ball again, which is kind of dumb. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did notice that. But it seems like some of the batting practice or some of the what do you call them? The arms pitching. They seem like they
the arms pitching.
The people the throwing. Pitch, the coaches throwing to the hitters for the home run derby. We're getting away with. I mean, it didn't seem like that technical. Like
right.
I think there were a bunch of times that they threw it, and I was like, that ball didn't hit the ground yet, you know, but
whatever.
You got to get it in there, definitely. And it was even good even though Stanton went out immediately, which I was kind of surprised. He went out immediately.
I was sad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would hope it would be Stanton versus Judge at the end.
That would have been
nice.
That would have been cool. Although that's all Stanton does is hit home runs.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit of an overrated player, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially last year. He got real overrated last year. You know?
Right.
He was striking out, and I was like,
His average is down. But,
yeah.
I mean, he still hits home runs.
Yeah. Right.
He still hits bombs.
All right. Well, talking about home runs, I guess there's a rumor going around that the baseballs are juiced in baseball. They're hitting more home runs at a higher rate this year than ever before, even higher than, like, the steroid era. So now they're saying the ball is taking steroids. I mean, do you buy that's happening? Anybody?
Oh, man. You know, I actually think it's really the science of hitting more so the ball. You know, baseball, I mean, hitters are learning how to hit the ball further. The training is getting better. You just look on Instagram, or there are a lot of camp. There are a lot of avenues to hit the ball rather than your local, you know, high school coach teaching you how to, you know, hit the ball. You know, so it's the science of it that's making the, you know, guys want to hit the ball further because you make more money that way. You know, just like pitching, you throw harder, you get paid. You know.
Yeah, true. But also, I think we're seeing that maybe the value of the home run is getting devalued when people like Mark Trumbo, he led the league in home runs last year, and I think he ended up having like a 1.7 WAR, which is like okay.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even get a lot of suitors this year. He ended up coming back to the Orioles, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you can also look at like Chris Carter right? And Pedro Alvarez, who are, you know, are 40 home run guys, and
they're like 194 batting average. Yeah, and, you know.
Well, not that low, but you know,
Chris Davis probably is that low.
Well, Chris Carter is probably that low.
Yeah, not Chris Davis.
Chris Carter. Yeah,
but Chris Davis does too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that it is kind of shocking to see how. How unappreciated a lot of those 40 home run guys are.
Mm-hmm.
That's shocking to me.
But I like it though. Even if they are Jew, why not? Let's do it.
You know? Yeah, home runs are more fun to watch. But I think the home runs, the balls might be juiced though. I think we saw a quote a second ago about Andrew McCutchen, who's been around the league for maybe not a decade, but close to it. He says they're juiced. He thinks they're juiced. Pitchers have said it. The ball feels differently. Everything's going out at a higher rate. I mean, I know I went to a batting practice. The Orioles and the Rays were playing the other day, and Logan Morrison was like crushing the ball. He was knocking. I've never seen Logan Morrison hit the ball so well. I mean, he's an okay player, but he's at 24 home runs this year. I think that's His previous career high was 23 home runs in a season.
Corey Dickerson is hitting the ball out nonstop too, right?
For
the Rays.
He's got 17 home runs this year.
They're like a home run hitting team all of a sudden.
They were last year though too. The Rays hit a lot of home runs last year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of surprising. I mean, we talked about, I think Trumbo led the league last year in home runs. How many did he hit? Like 40?
42.
Okay. So yeah. Aaron Judge already has 30 home runs. George Springer's got 27. Giancarlo Stanton's got 26. They're probably all going to go over 40 or close to it.
Yeah.
How many home runs do you think he'll end up with, Judge?
Well, Jesse thinks he's going to trail off. I already know that. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's not going to continue.
I think he'll hit 45.
Wow.
45? Okay.
I'm going 65.
Whoa.
65.
He's going to get another 30-some home runs.
That means he's going to increase his pace.
Yeah.
How many got now?
We're 30 in 85 games.
Okay. In over half the season.
That's so 65.
65? That would be incredible.
I'd all natural.
Wow. I mean, that's approaching McGuire territory and Bonds territory.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
As a rookie. Mm. All right.
We'll see. I'm not betting on that one, but.
I think he could get to 50, though. I think he could get to 50.
That's possible.
But all right, 65. Marcus, we're going to mark that down, and we'll come back to this.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, I mean, do we want to stick in baseball, keep talking about baseball? Do we want to go to football, or what are we thinking? Anybody?
I mean, I love my Ravens. We can talk a little Ravens a little bit.
Talk a little Ravens. I haven't been keeping up with it too much, but you take the lead, Marcus.
All right, man. The Baltimore Ravens right now are at a cross path, okay? So if they have a losing season, John Harbaugh is gone, okay? Unfortunately. I like John Harbaugh. He's a good coach, perfect for the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
But it's all about production, you know. So right now we got a rebuilt defense, and we're led by Joe Flacco. I'm weary about the guy. I mean, I like him, but I need more. Okay, I need more.
Yeah, I like Flacco too. I think he might just have to get over being scared of his knee a little bit, and now he's got Jeremy Maclin. I know he lost Steve Smith, but Steve Smith had some injury problems anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he can get over it. Now the thing about Harbaugh is funny. I think the same thing that you do. I think if they don't make the playoffs, even if they're like 8-8 or 9-7, whatever, if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
But I know I listened to a local radio station the other day, and they said, no, he's not going to go. I think they were
he's gone. You know, you need new flavor. I mean, John Harbaugh, he's a very, like, mature. Like, he runs Ravens like a company, you know, not like a typical head coach yelling at people and, you know, fiery. He just, like, he makes everybody accountable. And you need somebody who's a little more fiery, you know, to get these guys to do what they need to do. Honestly, the Ravens are kind of like too good, too nice. You know what I mean? You got a lot of nice guys on the team. You know, like who's your bad guy on the team? Like Suggs, but he's old.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, he's just the old loudmouth. Everybody is just, you know, choir boys on the team. You know, so we need some fire, man.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess Steve Smith had that fire a little bit. He's gone now.
Defense, offense. Who's the rebel?
That's a good one. I don't know.
Nobody.
I couldn't tell.
So that's why we're losing. You know.
Offense, there's nobody I can even think of. Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, Mosley's quiet. I mean, Weddle is nice, but he's not like.
Right.
You know.
I mean, Tony Jefferson, I don't know him. He's just coming in. He might have that edge. I don't know anything about him, though.
Yeah, me either.
Jesse, do you have any input on the football?
Not particularly.
No.
Well, we'll see, man. It's going to be a good season, though.
I do think, I mean, the one thing I can add is that I think Flacco is generally an overrated quarterback. I think he's always been.
Don't talk about my quarterback.
I don't think he's always been that particularly smart with football. I don't think he's been a great, like, you know, manage. I mean, he did win the one Super Bowl, which, you know, you can't take that away from him. But
he hasn't done anything to replicate that performance to make it seem like it was legit.
Yeah,
it
right, like, exactly.
Oh, he just got hot, you know, and then just gone.
And without some mistakes by the Broncos and, you know, they wouldn't have.
We don't need to talk about that. You know.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's overrated. I think everybody gives him so much hate, though. I don't think people regard him as a top quarterback. He makes a lot of. He's maybe overpaid.
Yeah, overpaid.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. Baltimore has never had a quarterback.
Right.
Flacco was the best we've ever had. So.
Yeah, like Johnny Unitas was the last good Baltimore quarterback before him. So, I don't know. But we'll see. It's a make or break season for him a little bit, too.
Yeah. I would not be opposed to trading him, releasing him either, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a tough one. We got to see. You got to see what's out there because it's tough to even get an average quarterback, I feel like.
And another thing is, it's not really all Joe Flacco's fault. We kind of got away from what we do. You know, we normally are a team that runs the football. Mm-hmm. You know, last year they said, you know, we want to get Flacco over 4,000. It was like, it seemed like they wanted him to do that. You know, that was more of a priority than being balanced and winning. Mm-hmm. You know, he got like, what, 4,100 yards or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds right. Like, he just got over it despite throwing nonstop. Yeah, just barely,
you know. And it was just, like, to the running backs.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. And then in the offseason, they just went and got defense, all defense. The draft was – I don't think they drafted any offensive players.
No.
And they got – Jesse, what are you doing with the microphone? We can hear everything you're doing. You're rubbing it on your beard. Oh, my God. That's okay. I know you're fidgeting. You can't focus on that too much. Do you want to move on and talk about Kaepernick?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that, because that's going to keep you more engaged. So you got to run this. What's going on with Kaepernick? Yeah. What happened? Tell us.
Well, I mean, I mean, most obviously, he's still, you know, an unsigned quarterback. And he deserves to be on a football team based on his performance, based on his play, based on his experience, his Super Bowl appearance, you know, and etc. And he's still unsigned. And that's, you know, somewhat shocking, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. I think he should be on a team.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like Kaepernick, you know, he chose what he wanted to be about, you know. And I feel like he's at peace with it, you know. Either you're going to be an advocate, or you're going to be a football player, you know?
Well, that is the one thing that, you know, does seem to be apparent, is that, you know, it's not like he seems to be doing anything possible to get back in the league, in the sense that he doesn't seem like he's willing to compromise his principles and his values in order to accept a job. Now, I thought he was kind of on that track at one point when he mentioned that he would start standing for the national anthem this upcoming year. I thought that was...
I would think that he should have done it. He shouldn't have said that. He went back.
Right.
It was like he kept going back on his word.
That, you know, did,
first
that,
he said, we need change, but I don't vote. And then he said, I'm going to stand. Like, you just pick one thing and go with it, you know, and ride it, you know. You make people don't believe you when you switch your stance, you know. And then you just lose kind of credibility. Even if you really are honest, you know, mm-hmm. you just can't do that, you know. If I told you, you know, I get bad girls, you know what I mean? I get baddies, you know what I mean? But I'm always bringing these fours and fives around you guys, then you wouldn't believe me, you know what I mean? So you gotta do what you said, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's also a young guy. Like, I think people forget that. I mean, he's a younger guy who's just kind of figuring out what he thinks about things in the world. I know we're all young guys, and, you know, he's older than we are, but he's a young guy figuring out what he stands for in the world, also trying to balance a career. He knows it's unpopular among the NFL fan base to think the things he thinks, but, you know, he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Does he want to keep playing football? Then he's probably going to have to, you know, give up some of his morals and his care, you know, whatever he thinks on things, or is he going to take a stand of being just like what you said, Marcus? He's got to pick what he wants to do. But I think he's kind of doubling down on it, because what did he do over 4th of July? He was out of the country, which that's fine, but he had some quotes about why would he stay in this country if they don't, you know, it was something about, I think it related to slavery in some way, wasn't it? About taking independence away from something, I don't know, but he's kind of doubling down on that thing. So I think he's figuring it out, what he wants to do.
Yeah, he was in Ghana for the 4th of July, you know, trying to discover his roots.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I could just talk about that for a little bit until I find my quote that I wrote on Facebook about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
His mindset needs to be, you know, for him to get back into the NFL, you know, because he deserves it. He's a good football player. He's better than average. You know, you can win with him. You know, mm-hmm. you can win with Flacco, you can win with Cap. You know, so
right.
So that it's not an issue about his talent, his skill level. It's more about the broad ideology, the mindset of America, even though it has some flaws in it. he basically like spat on it. You know what I mean? And offend a lot of people, and people who are appreciative of the good thing in spite of all the things that we got to fix. And I don't feel like, you know, damning or like insulting, you know, the perception of what we want to be overall to, you know, the reality that's happening, you know, here and there all around the country. It's like my dad used to say, you want to be right or you want to be dead right. You know what I mean? So he's sort of like, he is right, but right now he's dead right. He's not getting anything that he wants, you know? So you can't do it that way, you know? You get more using honey than vinegar. And I feel like his approach was not on point. I agree with it, but the route to it was not the way to go.
Right, and he needs to stay in the NFL if he's going to maintain that platform to have a voice. Because once he disappears from the NFL, nobody's going to care what he thinks anymore, which, right or wrong.
Exactly. All he got to do is get on a team, you know. Right. You win one game, throw one pass, you're good. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of teams. The New York Jets quarterback situation is a complete mess. Kaepernick could start right now for the New York Jets. I mean, there's a lot of teams, and he could be at least a backup. You know, so yeah, he needs to get back in the NFL. He needs to make amends with people. And also at the same time, there's some pressure. There's some of the responsibility falls on NFL team owners, NFL fans to be grown-ups and say, okay, this is a young guy who has an opinion on stuff. We were all there at one point, whether they want to admit it or not, that we were a little confused about what we think. I think he does have a point of view, but he wasn't exactly sure on how to, you know, verbalize that opinion.
Well, that's what I was going to point out, is I think a lot of the story is really about the team ownership more than it is about Kaepernick, because it shows and demonstrates their reluctance and how easily they're willing to crush any dissent, you know, anybody who doesn't quite agree, and their reasons for that. But, I mean, there's speculation that, you know, the team ownerships basically have a informal agreement.
They're blackballing him? Is that kind
of right. Yeah, not sign him. Do you think there's any merit to that? I mean, based on kind of the reception he's gotten on the market, I mean, that doesn't seem impossible.
I guess it's not impossible, but some of the people that the NFL employs, and they're not going to employ a guy that just has a political opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's kind of insane.
I mean, people beating women and, you know, shooting people and running people over, and they still get a chance. All he did was, you know, just had like an outlandish, you know, opinion, and he did it the wrong way. I think John Harbaugh even said he would consider Kaepernick, you know, but I don't feel like that would fit with Baltimore. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like some of it is just talk. I mean, I feel like when Pete Carroll said that he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and then, like, the Seahawks didn't sign him, like, I'm like, okay, well, then why didn't you want him to be a backup? Like, you know, a lot of this just seems like
But it also didn't make sense football-wise. It didn't make sense because you have two young guys that sort of rival each other, and they play similarly. You know, Kaepernick needs to play for a team that has an older quarterback or a no quarterback at all, you know, for it to work. I mean, you're not going to have Russell Wilson and then Kaepernick. I mean, it just wouldn't work, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seattle sounded like a kind of a perfect situation in terms of the city. Seattle's a pretty progressive city. It's a West Coast city. I think in that regard, it did make sense. And I think Baltimore, in a similar way, makes sense because, you know, it's a you know.
Nah, you can't be a backup to the guy who beats you in the Super Bowl. You can't do that. No.
Well, that's his own thing he's got to deal with. Definitely. I don't know. It's a mess.
It really is. It's a mess, you know. And I feel bad for Kaepernick, you know, because he's a good person. I can feel it. He has a good cause, and it's real. But, you know, I was talking to you before when we went to the Oreo game and you had the sign,
right?
And they were throwing French fries at us.
Oh, yeah.
I had, look. He has his own opinions. It's America, right?
Yeah. You know? Right.
So my point is, I said to you that if Kaepernick would have got some more people with him, you know, before he even did anything, I think that would have helped a lot, you know.
It could have been more organized.
Yeah, definitely, right. For sure. And also,
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And also, when he first did it, I felt like kneeling was sort of like a poor man, you know, sort of declaration of, you know, protest. You know what I mean? Because he has so much more, you know, money and fame. And just imagine the whole stadium sat down during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be more powerful than one player who had privilege sitting down?
Yeah, because then you can poke holes in that player, you know, from the people that disagree with him. You can say, well, this guy did this, and he's this kind of person. And
right.
That's why
I say
he smoked weed back in seventh grade. And, yeah.
Right. I don't know about
seventh
that.
Seventh grade?
In the womb, he was smoking weed. I don't know.
So, yeah, what I say. I felt like it was not really something that he should have done. Maybe if he would have done it, more people would have been with him. You know,
and there were others that eventually came along and did it, but
yeah.
He didn't communicate with them, I guess, beforehand, and didn't say, on this day, we're all doing this together.
Right.
And yeah.
And some of them would kneel for 2 or 3 weeks and then they wouldn't kneel anymore. It was very.
Yeah, it was just like it was like they were doing it to kind of help him out, or, you know, it was just.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And yeah, I don't know. And it's tough because you're trying to connect with an NFL fan base that I think a lot of is white middle class people in the middle of the country, and it's a black guy from a West Coast city. You know, he probably needed some high profile white players to join in on it too.
And honestly, I'm gonna tell you another reason why it didn't work. Kaepernick, he is black, mm-hmm. but he does not look like me.
That's okay? Right.
And everything that's going on in, you know, other countries. Me personally, I thought he was black, but I actually more identify him more as a Middle Eastern. I was like, oh, you know, and it was another guy. It was another comedian. It was a comedian who was like, he's not even black. You know what I mean? And then he had to get corrected because, you know, like, he is black, you know? So I felt like it sucks that your parent can curb how people react to you, you know? And I feel like that definitely did play a part, because if it was like Ray Lewis who did it, you know, if it was somebody, you know, like Cam Newton, whatever, well, wouldn't worked. You know, if it was another guy, you know, who did it, who was like more like African American guy, who was more of a your typical American black person who did that, I felt like it would be a different response.
Well, and Kaepernick, he has white parents, right?
He's adopted, actually.
He's adopted. Okay. Yeah. So it is, you know, not that should matter. But
it's not. But that I feel like that really mattered though.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, so if we did have someone like you're describing do it instead, how do you think the reaction would have been different?
It would have been more like, we understand, you know?
I think it possibly could have been easier to rally the troops if you're a little different looking. I think other people in the league maybe would have flocked a little easier. Kaepernick, I don't know what his reputation is around the league, but like what you're saying, if he's not, he doesn't seem like he's actually a black guy. He's from white parents.
He doesn't look like, you know, American, black, African American. You know, he looks like he may be mixed with something else. He might be black, but he's mixed with something else.
Right.
You think, oh, we're going through the terrorism. You know what I mean? He doesn't really look like a black person. You know, he looks like someone that we're fighting, you know? So, and he's fighting for black causes. And it's like, oh, how dare you? You know what I mean? Internally, I think people are like that, you know, for sure.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Anything else you want to touch on with this, Jesse? No?
Not particularly.
All right.
But I wish him well, and he'll be fine.
Do we think he's going to get an NFL job for this upcoming season? Is that going to happen?
No. My question is, why hasn't it happened yet? If it is going to happen, why not yet?
Well,
what would change to allow it to happen, I guess?
An injury. Like, okay, Pete Carroll talked a big game. What if Russell Wilson tears his ACL in mini camp or in training camp?
Yeah, I can see that happening.
You would think Colin Kaepernick would be his first call.
I would hope so. Tebow played in the NFL. Why not? Why not Kaepernick?
Right.
No, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, he can play minor league baseball, I guess.
Yeah. You got a good arm.
All right. So we'll move on to I guess it's our final topic. We're going back to baseball, and we're going to talk about the MLB trade deadline. The big one that just happened was Jose Quintana is going from the White Sox to the other Chicago team, the Cubs, and the Cubs gave up 4 prospects. I think 2 of the prospects were top 100 prospects, and it gives the White Sox 7 of the top 100 prospects in all of baseball. Thoughts on the trade?
Well, I think both teams made out. I think it was a trade with mutual benefit. The Cubs are gonna definitely get some help with that rotation, and adding Jose Quintana, who they're gonna have under control for another year after this one, I believe. And will obviously probably be a favorite to re-sign him once his contract does expire. No, I mean, them getting Jose Quintana, I mean, he's a lefty pitcher. They have Lester in that rotation. They have Montgomery, who's also a lefty. And they're adding Quintana. So they're going to have a good deal of lefty starting pitchers in that rotation. And, I mean, he could give them a spark to help change that season. He should have probably, what, 10, 15 starts left in the season?
Yeah, probably. And he gets a couple extra before the trade deadline, which normally, you know.
Right. So it wasn't a deal that was done at the deadline, so they will get a little more value out of him than they normally would, than teams normally will. So,
man, I don't really care about anybody but the Orioles, so, I mean... I mean,
well, they were talking about the Orioles maybe aiming for him last offseason, I feel like, but the Orioles don't have four of the top 100 prospects or whatever.
And that's the other thing that I was going to say is, like, Chicago is a team that can make that trade.
Right.
Because they've drafted well, they've developed their players, they have a good farm system right now. You know, they've been building up all these prospects from dealing a bunch of guys from when they were bad, you know, so...
Well, and plus the Cubs' core right now that's good is pretty young. I mean, Chris Bryant's at third base. He's in his second year. He's already got an MVP award. What's Baez over at second? Mm-hmm. Who's at shorts? Who's their shortstop? Russell.
Yeah.
So, and then Rizzo, I think he's probably the oldest of the bunch. He's like 27. I mean, they've got a pretty young core. So they can afford to mortgage the future a little bit to get a guy right now
who's
good. Although Quintana's not had a great season. He's got a 4.49 ERA. He's 4-8. With 109 strikeouts, but for his career, he's got a 3.51 ERA, and he's going from the AL to the NL. All those numbers should theoretically drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of the other interesting part of this story was the way the trade was kind of broken. It actually happened on Reddit. Somebody had heard about it. Did you guys hear about this part of,
not
the,
here,
of it? Okay. So on Reddit, each team has kind of its own like subreddit where they're like, fans kind of talk back and forth about stuff that's going on. So if you go on reddit.com, the Orioles have one, the White Sox have one, and username Katy Perry's booty hole on that's his username.
Stop.
On Reddit said to the board, "Hey guys, take this with a grain of salt, but I heard from a friend whose brother's friend works for the Cubs, sounds like bullshit, I know, that Q is headed to the Cubs in exchange for four players. Has anyone heard anything similar?" And then a username WetButt23 jumped in and said, "I was just told that the trade was agreed to this morning and the players were doing physicals and whatnot. Could have been before game, but I am not 100% sure on the timeline."
Wow.
A couple hours later, that's exactly what happened. He got traded to the Cubs for four players.
So someone on the inside leaked it something? Or?
They created a fake profile just to leak it.
And they came up with the username Katy Perry's booty hole, which... You know, that's pretty cool. Mm. So, I don't know. That's how information's getting spread now through Reddit, through, what did it say? A friend whose brother's friend works for the Cubs. 6 degrees of separation. Mm. So, all right. So that's a trade that has happened.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about trades that should happen.
And I'm going to let you know, guys. Manny Machado should go. We got to trade Manny, man.
But they're trading him at like the lowest possible his value could be. He's having
right now.
He's having a pretty bad season, isn't he? And we're gonna trade.
Do you think? How much do you think his value really will be affected by this poor season? I mean, at the end of the day, he still is one of the best third basemen. I mean, I can't imagine his value drops that much just from a rough first start. I also saw a stat that really intrigued me the other day. This was prior to the game last night, but he is the most hit balls over 100 miles an hour for the entire league. He has one more ball that he has hit over 100 miles an hour, one more than Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Which is kind of shocking when I saw it. He had 93. Judge had like 92 balls put in play that were hit over 100 miles an hour. And it was a little difficult for me to process at first because it's like, well, why are you hitting 220 right. if you're hitting the ball so hard every time? Like, are all of those balls out?
Well, I'm gonna tell you,
but
he's hitting them hard. That's cool,
right?
But it's because his swing. I've seen based on just my observation, he's swinging so hard,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he's swinging like he's trying to hit home run every swing,
right?
You know, so.
Now, like a poor, so there's the stat batting average on balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So typically the league average is about 300 mm-hmm. on balls in play. Manny Machado is hitting 243 mm-hmm. on balls he puts in play. So there is some bad luck in that. Now he is hitting 234, so his batting average is up a little bit from what I think he was down at like 210, 215 for a while there. So it is trending up, and theoretically by the end of the season he should be getting closer to his career 278 number.
Why do you say it's bad luck that?
If you're hitting 234 on balls in play, that's you're telling me he's hitting the ball harder than anybody else in the league.
Right.
So he must be hitting them right at people. Because,
right.
I mean, he might.
Right.
300,
right.
His career average on balls in play is 302.
Mm-hmm.
So he's hitting 243 right now when he puts the ball in play. That's saying not a strikeout. And I guess it's just anything that's hit up in the air or on the ground. He's right. getting out most mm-hmm. of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some bad luck going on. Definitely. Maybe teams are positioning right. They know where to play him. I don't know. But
he spreads the ball around pretty well, though. When he's good, like he'll go to right field. So it's not like they can shift and just put all their guys on the left or the right side of the infield.
It's definitely bad luck. You're hitting them right to him, you know? Like,
but
you know,
but
that's how baseball is sometimes, you know?
It is, but, I mean, his swing is considerably different.
It is.
Like, we can tell that he's struggling.
His whole stance is kind of just different. I don't like it.
He's dipping his back shoulder, like getting under the ball. Like, you know, talk about the launch angle. Like, mm-hmm. it looks like he's trying to like hit these moonshots, like right. you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he is striking out a little bit more. He's striking out almost. He's striking out 19.5% of the time. His previous career high was 19.2%. So he is striking
That's
out
a
little
pretty
bit
negligible
more.
Difference, though.
I know. Well, but I'm just saying he's striking out more than last year when he was at 17.2%. I mean, he's definitely right. striking out a little bit more. I don't know, but yeah, okay. So they trade him. Say the Orioles trade him, which I would agree. I think a trade needs to be explored.
I guess you have to entertain offers. Like,
we got
to
get two pitchers out of him at least.
I mean, if the White Sox just got four players for Quintana, I got to think Machado's worth more than Quintana, wouldn't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but here's the thing. The thing is that it seems to me like this is something that you wait till the off season to do. My thing is, I mean, first and foremost, like I would like to re-sign Machado. I think that would be a good investment if Peter Angelos and the Orioles were willing to do it. I think that would be a great thing to do.
That's ideal, but we know Baltimore Orioles, they do not sign anyone.
Right, exactly.
And
so,
is Manny gonna want to do that?
Probably not. But probably not. But here, my thinking on it is that you offer him an extension.
Yeah.
And he either accepts or declines. And
you fidget so much. He just took the mic stand off of the microphone.
I'm getting used to this.
Yeah. Okay.
But so I mean, you know, you go into the off season, you have a longer period of time to figure things out, figure out what your approach is. You offer him a big contract. You say, this is what we can do. He accepts or declines. If he declines, then you deal him in the off season. But you don't really have that option, really, to offer him the extension in the middle of the season.
Well, this might, if we want to re-sign him, it might be the best time to do it because he is not playing well. You know, you don't want to give him an opportunity to say, look at me, I'd worth $400 million, you know? Like, you don't want to. Sign him now, like, look, we want you to be in peace at mind, you know what I mean? So you know where you're going to be that you start hitting it again, you know what I mean?
I feel like Machado probably thinks this slump is not going to last very
yeah.
long.
Yeah.
Well, then they should have an honest conversation with him and say, look, Manny, we're interested in signing you long term. What is your interest in it? If we, like, say, if we offer the same as the Yankees, are you going to take our offer or are you going
to
take the Yankees?
You better not go to the Yankees.
I'm just saying. And hopefully, Manny.
They need a third baseman. Chase Headley is not cutting it over there.
I think that's probably, if he doesn't sign with the Orioles, that's where he probably... I mean, the Red Sox have a need at first or third base, too.
They DFA'd Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
The panda.
So, I mean, and that's another thing, though. Okay, so those two teams need a third baseman. The Orioles want to look into trading. The Yankees probably have a buttload of prospects.
Do we trade them in the division?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Okay, I would rather see him with the Red Sox, not the Yankees.
I don't know. I think I'd rather see... Well, the Yankees are so good. They're both good right now. It's a tough one. That is a tough one.
They're no good answer. Yeah, answers with how to answer that.
Can we keep them, please?
Yeah, right. Let's just give them... I mean, that's my thing. Is like one of the things one of my coworkers was talking about one time is like, you know, everyone's always like, oh, we paid this guy so much money or we did that... It's like, you're not paying them, you know? Right. So what difference? I mean, my first and foremost priority is to have Machado in a Baltimore uniform. That's first, you know, I would love to see him, you know, I dream of him being an all-time Oriole, you know? And, like, you know, him and Scope are kind of, I view the same thing, you know? Yeah. I would love them to be all-time Orioles, stay here for their careers, and... I mean, I don't care how much they pay Machado. If they want to pay him $500 million, I'll be all right with that.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing, though. Okay, you're talking about Scope and Machado being all-time Orioles. If you sign Machado, that's greatly going to affect your ability to sign Scope.
True, right. Know? Definitely. No,
Scope's now an all-star. He's having a ridiculous season.
Yeah.
I mean...
And this is why the Chris Davis investment was so stupid in my mind. I mean,
I'm regretting. Before, I was like, yeah, we need to keep him. Yeah.
Nah, I was never with that deal. I just was very uncomfortable from the jump about that deal.
Yeah. I mean, they were in win now mode. That he was the best first baseman on the market. Mm-hmm. We need a first baseman. Sign him up.
See, he's playing pretty decent.
See, the thing is, Chris Davis to me. You know, especially with what we were talking about with the value of the home run being depreciated, you know. I mean, Chris Davis is a guy that, in my mind, you can replace. You can find a way to replace Chris Davis. Manny Machado, I don't think that you can't replace that. Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, reduce the damage. You are not going to find somebody who is as well-rounded. I mean, you just can't replace him.
If Chris Davis wasn't as good a defensive player, then I don't think we would have signed him. I mean, Chris Davis is pretty decent at first base. He'd be doing some scooping. He scoops very well.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's solid. He's a big target over there.
But we didn't sign him for his defense.
You're right.
We signed him to hit the bombs.
I mean, I'll say that, okay, Trey Mancini's been in there lately for the Orioles. The Orioles have not been playing any better with Trey Mancini at first base.
Yeah, he's made some errors at first base, like he's some catching errors.
He's very rigid over there.
Yeah, he's bad. let's just say what it is. He's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the thing, though. Okay, you signed Machado. All right, we signed Davis. That's done. You can't go back and fix the past. Machado, if the Orioles sign him, are they World Series contenders?
No, only if we get some pitching. That's the only way.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about the Bedard trade. Okay, that changed the Orioles franchise for the better. You got Jones, who's been here for a decade, and you got Tillman, who's been here, well, obviously for a decade too, but been with the Orioles for 6 years. I mean, that was a franchise changing trade. Machado could be the same thing. If Quintana, there was four for Quintana, you get five probably better players for Machado. And then we've got, in a couple of years, we've got 4 or 5 years of sustained success again, hopefully. The Orioles minor league system is barren. They've got nobody down there. That's the problem. They need to restock the cupboard a little bit with some prospects.
Yeah. And another guy that we need to consider, Chris, what is his name? Britton.
Zach Britton.
Zach Britton.
Yeah.
We might need to explore trading him.
Well, they should have traded him last offseason, in my opinion.
I would like, let's go. We got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, and that's the thing is we have the guys that can replace Britton in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I Brock can't do it, but I know that Michael Givens
can be our closer if we give him a chance.
Yeah.
I do not understand for the life of me why. Now, the only thing I can think is that Givens is a guy who can go two innings, and Buck likes him in the middle innings because he can pitch him one or two. That is the only justification
somebody else to replace Givens' spot, though. That's easier than, you know.
Well, that Blyler guy has been pretty good this year. I mean, he's a lefty, but he's been pretty solid. The thing with Givens, I think, prior to this season was he was not getting lefties out very well. Mm. And this season he has been getting lefties out. But the Orioles can't see the future, so I guess their thinking was, well, we need Britton because he can get everybody out. Givens maybe has the stuff, but he struggles against lefties for whatever reason. My opinion's always been that closer is like the most overvalued position in all of baseball. I think you can...
You got to remember, when Britton removed to the closer position, he was not that good. You know what I mean? And honestly, he's been great as a closer role, right? But I've always felt shaky, like, I don't know. You know, like, even through like 3 years, I'm just like, you know, he's doing everything great, but I'm still uneasy because I remember him being a starter and he was just like not that good. You know?
Yeah. Well, he's got that sinker ball that when the sinker ball is not working, you become terrible. You're just a terrible pitcher. Everything is up in the zone and you're walking people because you're bouncing it.
Yeah.
Those are the two options. Yeah. So it's a risky proposition and he's had injuries already. That's the other thing though is he's had injuries now, so what's his value even at?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. I definitely think we should have traded Britton. We could have got 3-4 guys for him. You know, he was a lockdown closer last season. Mm-hmm. You know, his value would have been at its peak in the offseason.
Now, the rumor is the Dodgers are interested in him being the setup man for Kenley
Jansen.
Which
is shocking. I mean, to me, that is – I mean, Kenley Jansen is like the perfect – I mean, he's an amazing closer. Yeah, he's great. And the fact that the Dodgers would be willing to part with some really valuable pieces in order to get Britton is kind of surprising to me.
The Dodgers need to win. They need to win the World Series. They spend a ton of money. So it makes sense to them. Let's trade the prospects and get in a dude in here that we can. If you have Clayton Kershaw pitching, he can go 7 innings at least. Then you just, it's basically
Britton, Jansen.
You just hope the Dodgers score a run.
Right.
Because Clayton Kershaw's not going to allow anything. Then Britton and Jansen, I mean, it's a done deal. So I think to them it might be worth 5-6 prospects. Who cares?
How concerned? Well, I mean, the one thing I think, in order for Britton to restore his values, he has to pitch well over the next month. And if
Less than a month.
Right. And if he's able to do that, then it's possible that, you know, teams will be like, oh, okay, he still got it, you know. But I could see a lot of people being very concerned. I'd be very concerned, you know, because like you were saying, like, you know, if that sinker's not working, he's not effective.
Right.
And if something's wrong and he's not physically healthy and that sinker isn't, or even if his velocity's down a little bit, That would be a big red flag. And a team would be like, no, there are enough good relievers in the league. We could try to get somebody else rather than trading all our prospects for Britton.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a trade, you know, rumor or anything, but we need to get rid of Hardy, man. J.J. Hardy got to go, bro.
Well, we have a lot of players on this team who could be dealt.
Well, Tejada got to go.
Well, I think Hardy will be gone after the season. His contract expires at the end of this year. He's got a a team option for next year, which I highly doubt will be picked up. So I think Hardy probably is done. He's been a good servant to the club. He's been a very good baseball player, but his time has passed. He's always been kind of one of my favorite guys, but his time is over.
There's no chance he'll get dealt. His value. I mean, he's not worth it.
Well, he's not going to be back until August healthy.
Right.
So I don't even know the rules about dealing injured players. No. He can't pass a physical.
Right.
So, the Orioles have to clean house. They still don't have corner outfielders.
Yeah, that's another thing. We don't have solidified guys. You know this guy's going to play that position every day. Right. You know, and that's why we're losing.
And the Hyunsoo Kim and Seth Smith are both trade chips, I would think.
I like Seth Smith.
I
think if he played more, but he can't play the defense. I mean, he's like really slow.
Well, I was going to point out the other guy out of those two. I think Hyunsoo Kim should be playing every day.
I agree. But both of their contracts are up at the end of the year. Right. So it makes no sense to keep them on a team that's not going to the playoffs.
True.
I mean, I love Hyunsoo Kim, but Buck Showalter, for whatever reason, has a vendetta against him and just does not play him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, me personally, I feel like he's a good hitter. He can get on base, but defensively, I feel like he's just like a placeholder, you know? He just
runs. Right.
He doesn't even look athletic. He's just picks the ball, he throws it, and it's like, It doesn't even look professional.
What are you thinking that Kim and Smith could bring back in terms of prospects?
Not a whole lot. Smith is probably worth more just because Hyunsoo Kim is not playing. So
right,
Seth, you could get like a mid-level prospect. You know, nothing great, but you know, he's a bench piece on a good team.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
So I mean, what is that really worth? It can't be that much, you know. I don't know. Now, I had an idea about corner outfield for the Orioles. You know, we'll see what you guys think of this. So we got Jonathan Scope, right, at second base. Defensively, Jonathan Scope is not the best second baseman. He's not. His range is not that good. If you look at statistics, his range is not. He's got a great arm. He's got great power, good everything for the position. But I think you can find another second baseman that's a better defender than Jonathan Scope. Probably is not going to be as good of a hitter. But you could put Jonathan Scope in right field, and you've solved your right field problem for the Orioles. Now you've created a second base problem.
Right.
But it's less of an issue to find a second baseman. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, it is, it's not just the arm. It's also turning the double play. It's the chemistry he has with the shortstop. I mean.
Well, who's the shortstop?
Well, right. I mean, it was Hardy, and he had chemistry with him. But
I've heard even moving Scope to shortstop.
Oh, I don't think that can happen.
No.
He played it in the minor leagues, but he's like lead-footed. I don't know. He's got the arm.
Move him to third and move Machado at short.
Yeah, you could. But Machado's so good at third. I don't think he's going to be as good at shortstop as he is at third
base. I hate that, I think that, but you're right. He's better at third.
I don't know. There's a lot. The Orioles are a mess right now, honestly. Like we were saying, I think trading Machado and Britton, if their value is good enough, is probably the best option.
Yeah.
Retool in the off season. But I think probably if you're trading Britton and Machado next year is going to be terrible. It's going to be a wash because the pitching's still going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've lost offense. I don't know, but I think that's probably the way to go.
And unfortunately some of the guys that need to go, like Chris Davis,
wrap it up,
are, you know, locked into this big contract. So some of the guys we really can't move. Hardy, who needs to go, can't really be dealt, et cetera. You know, so we're kind of stuck in a lot of
ways. We're definitely stuck. Yeah. We are stuck. We just got to ride it out. Hopefully, like, Jones, Davis, the guys that's already there can play. Because, really, we're only, like, what, four games out the wild card. If you look at the bigger scale, we're, like, kind of still in it, you know, even though it looks like...
We're definitely in it.
Yeah, like, even if it feels like we're not, it feels like we have no chance in hell to do anything. But, I mean, we're good.
Right.
We got to play good.
Well, hopefully this week will be a big week. The Orioles have a homestand. They've already lost the first game of that homestand to the Cubs. But
that was a terrible game, man. Like, I didn't watch it.
I saw we went down 8-0, and I was like,
Came back.
Yep.
And then lost. I looked at my phone and was like, bloop. Boy, it was loot. I'm like,
yeah, but we got a week now of a homestand that I think this week's going to be important. And then maybe next week when we reconvene, we'll have a lot more information to go on. There might be some better, bigger trade rumors as next week the trade deadline will only be a week away. So we'll see. But
definitely a topic to be revisited.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I guess we're going to wrap it up for now. We'll do weekly episodes, hopefully. You can follow us along, subscribe, do all that jazz. And I'm Tyler.
This is Marcus.
And this is Jesse Ginsburg.
Thank you for listening.
Dim the lights. Oh, it's a vibe, yeah. Get high. It's a vibe. Oh, it's a vibe, yeah. It's a vibe, don't you lie. Your pussy dripping, gushing, dripping down your thighs. It's a vibe, get high, digging deep while I'm